Now, don't ever say there's no politics in the service. This is another bikini story. We'd been out there. In all of my previous life in the Navy, since I was flying seaplanes, you could land somewhere, but you couldn't get ashore unless you had a boat. It seems like all the tenders that were there to take care of us, their boats were always breaking down and so forth. So that gave rise to, there was an old Navy saying, you have liberty, but you don't have any boats, so you can't get ashore. I told myself that if I ever was in charge of boats, they'd all be running. We had 26 boats, 30-foot motor whale boats, where these various crews would go and do whatever they're supposed to do on those ships. They tied up the booms, you know what booms are, sticking out on the side of the ship? They tied up the booms. I never had a boat that couldn't run. When they tied up at that boom at the end of the day, I'd have one of our warrant officers, because I'm delegating work, have one of our warrant officers, chief boatswain mate, before those guys got out of that boat, he'd say, yes or no? They knew what that meant. Do you have to do any work, or is it running, or whatever it meant? If that boat was not fully in commission, they had to stay in that boat until it was. You'd be surprised how fast they can fix boats. I was never without a boat. Well, of course, they were delighted with that kind of service. Major General Groves, who was the manager of the A-bomb, construction of the A-bomb, had a deputy, a Navy Rear Admiral, and he would come out to the ship, not periodically, but maybe once a month or something like that. And when the flag officer comes aboard ship, you render honors. The honors consist of side boys. As he comes up the gangway, you have side boys, which are sailors, standing at attention, cocks, hats, just everything just so, saluting, being greeted either by the commanding officer or me, because sometimes the commanding officer was somewhere on another ship. So we got to be very good friends. His photographer gave me some photographs that he had taken of me saluting Major General Groves and Admiral Parsons. Several photographs with the Navy stamp on the back. I'm digressing. Several years ago, I don't know how it came into my hands, but there was a book, and it's probably in the libraries right now. I forget whether it's Bikini or the A-bomb. It was a very short title, but it was clearly it was what it was about. Put out by the Navy Press, what is it, Naval Institute and Proceedings, yeah. Published by the Naval Institute and Proceedings. And it said in there, because I'm reading this thing avidly, I've been there, you want. It said in there that Major General Groves was so peeved, churlish was the word they used, that he had not been put in charge of the A-bomb test, that he didn't even visit Bikini. And I wrote back immediately to them, and I told them the history as I'm telling you. And I said, and if you wish, I will send you photocopies of these photographs with the official naval seal in the back. They never replied. Ah. We were such good friends, because he's getting feedback from the civilian and they're all civilians, these kids, from the civilian in charge, Marshall Holloway. Marshall Holloway was a very serious guy, even though he was not more older than that. He ruled his man with an iron hand. Work was work and play was play. So Marshall Holloway is what, to my mind, must have been feeding him how well things were going, because they were going perfectly. We never had any problems. Now they would come aboard frequently. They were stationed, these two officers, at Inuitok, just a few hundred miles away, so they could come and go by seaplane. So when they wanted to communicate, they had to come to our ship with teletypewriter. We projected on the screen. Are you familiar with that? Whatever comes out, teletypewriter is projected on the screen. And you sit in the conference room. Now, if Grove is going to send a message, it says, Grove sending to. Message. Paranac has received orders to depart this ship just prior to the shot. Strongly recommend he be retained, then the orders be canceled. The message comes back, we'll have reply tomorrow. Tomorrow comes, your message number so-and-so, regret negative. I got on the last plane that departed from Bikini prior to the shot. At this time, you have the battleship Nevada in the center of your array where the concentric circles goes 10 miles out. There was a Japanese battleship, I forgot the name of it now, but if I get the book out someday, I'll try to remember. A Japanese battleship in the array. You had all makes of naval vessels, plus there, even with new war motor whaleboats, somehow we swapped our old ones, a couple old ones for a couple of new ones. But they had a lot of new motor whaleboats. And one of these ships was loaded with animals, like a zoo, all small animals, sheep, whatever else. There's a test station in Bethesda that does this type of research work, I don't know. But some Bethesda outfit under the government, you know, like today we have the National Institute of Health there. Yeah. That was for them. Now why they didn't let the plane, the pilot of the Enola Gay, why they didn't let assign him to drop the bomb, I'll never know. But they didn't give it to him. He had to compete for it. At Inuitok, where of course it was a landing field, they had three B-29 crews vying by dropping bombs, checking their error rates. For some reason, one of the other pilots got it. Which this was a big surprise. All that news came out before we left. When they dropped the bomb, was it 3 miles or 5 miles? He missed the target array on a clear day. They had sheep and animals swimming around in the lagoon. And they took them back to the States and found out that they had not been affected by the radiation. Well, you wouldn't when you miss a target by that much. So I got out on the last plane